Welcome back, everybody. To Yom Kippur, we're up to Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis 29b, and we are on the bottom of Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. We're up to where the Gemara is getting into its third explanation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that you are not allowed to light Shabbos candles with a garment that is folded over, and we discussed its permissibility in terms of Shabbos candles, but also its relevance in terms of Tumah. So now we had two answers so far as to why you would not be allowed to light Shabbos candles with this type of beged. So one was that it's a no-lot issue, the other one is that it doesn't burn well because it's not singed. But now Rav Hamnuna is going to give a third answer. So Rav Hamnuna Amar, Rav Hamnuna says, Hacha b'pacho shmi shlosha al shlosha askinan. So what we're talking about over here is a piece of cloth which is less than 3 by 3 tfachim. Umikue matlanios shanukanim. What the Rabbanon are teaching here are the halachos of something which is mekabel tumah in terms of a beged, which was designated by its owner for some sort of insignificant use. Something that you might throw out the next day. So does it retain its status as a beged or not? Is it deemed significant enough to be able to be mekabel tumah or not? This is what we are going to need to figure out based on this shot. So Vazar Rabbi Elazar Latamein Rabbi Elazar follows his own opinion. Rabbi Akiva Latamein Rabbi Akiva follows his opinion. Ditnan. What's this referring to? Because there's a Mishnah in Kalim in the 28th parak. Pachos Mishosha Al Shlosha Shiskinu Lifkok Bo Samerchat. So let's say someone has something which is less than 3 by 3 tvachim, again, a small little rag that was designated to be used as a plug for the bath. So it clogs up the drain. Lanai or Boas Hakadera, or it's used to pour out the hot contents of a pot. Ukaneach Boas Arichaim, or it's used to clean off the mill. But then it was afterwards stored away for other usage. Bain min hamuchan, whether it was prepared, bain she'im min hamuchan, we don't know what these terms yet, the Gemara is going to explain, tame, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says whether it was prepared for that usage or not, this is now going to be susceptible to tumah. This is what Rabbi Eliezer shita, which seems to fit into our Mishnah's shita of Rabbi Eliezer, because he holds that it retains its status even once it's folded. This beged always retains its status. Rabbi Yoshua says, bain min hamuchan, bain shalom min hamuchan, tahor. Whether it's been prepared for that use or not, again, we don't know exactly what Muchan is referring to yet exactly, but still it's going to be tahor according to Rabbi Yoshua, because he holds that it has now lost its status of a beged, so it's not something which can become mekabel tumah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, now Rabbi Akiva, which is important for our Mishnah, he says, min hamuchan tameh v'shalom min hamuchan tahor. If it was prepared for that usage, again, we're going to see what muchan means, then it would be tameh and shalom min hamuchan, but if it's not going to be prepared for that usage at all, then it's going to be tam tahor, because it's not going to be susceptible to tumah. So now we need to analyze this. Again, our Mishnah had the shita of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and here we have similar shitos. We're going to have to see how they line up. V'amar Ua and Ua says, V'itei Merava Brachan Amar Yochanan, Hakom Modim, everyone agrees, Zrako Ba'ashpa Devrei Kol Tahor. Let's say after someone used this rag, someone used this beged, then they threw it in the garbage, so that shows that it's insignificant. Everyone agrees it would be tahor in that case. Even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it's going to be tahor, because there's no way it maintains its status as a beged. Once it's thrown in the garbage, it shows that it's insignificant and cannot be mekabel tumah. Hinicha b'kufsa, if you put it in a drawer afterwards, divrei kol tameh, everyone agrees that it's going to be tameh, because clearly you still value it as a beged because you put it back in your drawer. So everyone's going to agree that it's going to become tameh. Lo nechaku el shetzlo b'magod, o she'iniach le'achorei ha'delos. The only time they argue is when someone like put it on a peg, or you put it on the door, behind the door. So there, it's, you're not throwing it out, but you're also not putting it away for storage. So Rabbi Eliezer savar midlo zrako ashpa daitei laveh. So Rabbi Eliezer holds, once you didn't throw it into the garbage, so this shows that you still do view it as valuable, and therefore it's going to be susceptible to tumah. Avamai karle shalom min hamuchan. So why would that be called shalom min hamuchan if you're just putting it on the back of a door or hanging on some sort of peg? So answers the Gemara, delagabe kufsa lav muchanu, because compared to putting it in the drawer, that's not muchan. Even though it's better than throwing it in the garbage, it's still not the same as putting it into a drawer. So that's why it's going to be considered shalom min hamuchan, and even there, Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold that it's okay, because that's enough das that you're viewing it as valuable, so that way it could be mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yoshua savar midalav hinicho b'kofsa batuwe batle. Rabbi Yoshua says, if you're going to just put it on the back of the door, that's not like putting it into your closet, putting it back into your drawer, so therefore you're showing that you don't care about this thing anymore, and therefore it's not going to be considered a beged anymore, and it will not be susceptible to tumah. My kari lei muhan. So why is this going to be called muhan, even though it's not going to be considered a beged anymore? The gabayash ba muhanu, because compared to throwing it in the garbage, putting it on the back of the door is better, but still not good enough to be able to retain its status as a beged. So it's important to understand this. Now, Rabbi Akiva bitzlo b'magud savar k'Rabbi Eliezer, b'hinicho achorei ha'delos sarvol k'Rabbi Yoshua. Now, Rabbi Akiva is the middle shita. He says, when it comes to putting it on the back of putting the beged on the pole, so you'll take Rabbi Eliezer, that that's not going to be negating its status as a garment, but when you put it behind the door, then it'll hold like Rabbi Yoshua that this is negating its status, so he holds this middle shita. But then the Gemara says, "V'ha'ad Rabbi Akiva, gabi Rabbi Yoshua." So even though we initially said that Rabbi Akiva holds this middle shita, he veered off to the
the shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Again, Rabbi Yezer holds that it always maintains its status as a beged, just like he held that in our Mishnah, and therefore it is mekabel tuma. Now we're saying Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yoshua that it loses its status as a beged, and since it loses its status as a beged, it is now not going to be mekabel tuma mimai. So how do we know that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yoshua? Amar Rav, Rav says mitani psilas habeged. Since our Mishnah said a wick made of garment, my iria detani psilas habeged, lisnei psilas shel beged. So why did it say psilas habeged of the garment? Why not just say psila shel beged? So my psila habeged. So what's it referring to when it says psilas habeged? Adayin begedu. Clearly, the Mishnah was trying to emphasize that it's still considered a beged. And still, even though we're talking about a case in the Mishnah where you hung it on the back of a peg or on a peg, where Rabbi Akiva would normally hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that it does maintain its status, but we know that in our Mishnah, he holds that it loses its status, and it's not going to be mekabel tuma, so it must be that he went to the view of Rabbi Yoshua. So that's just finishing off all of our remaining machloksim from the last Mishnah. But now we get to the next Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Lo yikov adam shvofer shel beitza vimalena shemen v'yitena al pianer b'shil shetei min atefes. So a person's not allowed to make a hole in an eggshell, fill the shell with oil, and then place it over where the lamp is, where you have a wick. So let's just say you have a bowl that has a wick in it. So instead of having the oil under that wick, you have an eggshell that's dripping oil into that bowl, and that's how it's maintaining the fire through the wick. So you're not allowed to set that type of thing up. So va'afilu hishel cheres. And this is even if it's made of cheres, which is disgusting, still it's going to be a problem. What's the problem? So Rashi says that the problem is gram kiboy. We know you're not allowed to extinguish a flame on Shabbos, even setting up a situation where it's going to go out earlier. So removing some of the oil, we're afraid that you're going to take some of the oil for yourself. So even though you're not directly putting out the flame, it's a grama that you're putting out the flame. So this is what's going to be the issue. Rambam in Mishnah Torah says that it's an issue with mukta. But let's assume for our purposes that it's gram kiboy, that it's a grama that you're going to come to extinguish the fire, make the fire go out earlier. That's the issue. Rabbi Yehuda Matzir, Rabbi Yehuda is not so concerned about this. But if the potter attached this type of contraption there from the beginning, then the Rabbanan said it's going to be okay, because then the lamp is considered a single vessel, and then it would be okay. Now the Gemara is a similar case. A person should not fill a bowl with oil and place it beside the lamp, and put the unlit end of that wick into the bowl so that it's going to draw the oil from that bowl, so it's going to go one bowl to the other to help the wick. Rabbi Yehuda Matzir, Rabbi Yehuda says that that's going to be okay. So now we had three separate cases in our Mishnah. We're going to have to understand why we had each of them. We had the case of just the egg dripping into the bowl. We had the case of that by pottery, by cheres, where it's disgusting. And then we have the case of the two bowls next to each other. So why do we need all of them? Mutzricha says, we needed all of these. If we just had the eggshell case, we might think that only in that case the Rabbanon were machmir and said that you can't do that. Since an eggshell is not disgusting, because we're afraid that someone's going to go and take from it, and that's going to become an issue. But when it's of cheres, which is disgusting, no one's going to take that. Maybe they would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that there's no concern. And if the Mishnah only taught the case of cheres where it's disgusting, so we might have thought, Bahakamer Rabbi Yehuda, maybe only over there Rabbi Yehuda would be matir because it's disgusting. But when it's just the eggshell by itself, which is not disgusting, maybe they'd agree to the Rabbanan that we're afraid that people are going to take from it, and that's going to be an issue. And if we just taught those two, Rabbi Yehuda, we might thought only in those cases that Rabbi Yehuda taught his din. And the reason why it would be is because mishum de lo mifsak, because there's nothing intervening. In the case of the eggshell and the case when it's of cheres, so there it's pretty simple to see that it's one contraption, you'll know not to touch from it. But here we have two bowls, Maybe he would agree to the Rabbanan in that situation, that we are afraid that people might take in that case. And if the Mishnah only taught this case, you might think that only here did the Rabbanan have a machmir ruling, but by the other two, maybe they would go and agree to Rabbi Yehuda, because over here, you're not able to tell that it's just one contraption, because it's two separate bowls, but when it is just one contraption, maybe they would agree that Rabbi Yehuda that it could be mutter, tzricha, so therefore we need all of the cases. Now the Mishnah went on and said, the Mishnah said that if the potter put it there from the beginning, that if it was there and set up like that contraption from the beginning, that the oil is dripping from that eggshell into the bowl, then it would be okay. So Tana imchib Rabbi Sidu v'charsis mutter. So the Tana in a Tana in a Braisa taught that if on Erev Shabbos, the owner of the lamp himself put some sort of pasta or clay, then it's going to be allowed. V'hanan yotzer tanan. So, but we seem to imply from our Mishnah that it needs to be done professionally. Like, it needs to have been put there, it needs to be set up like there, not just that I can go and establish it like by myself. It needs to have been put there in that way. So how could this be? So answers Gemara, my yotzer ke'en yotzer. So when it said that the potter needs to put it, the professional work needs to be done, it just meant ke'en yotzer, that even you could do it for your own thing, that would be good as if the professionals did it. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss this lenient ruling of Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, it was talking about some Rabbi Yehuda said, "Pama chashava seinu ba'alias bahar nitzah belud." So we once spent the Shabbos in the attic in Nitzah's house in Lud. They viu lanu shofar shal beita, and they brought out this eggshell, maleinua shemen unakavua v'hinicha apianer, and they filled it with oil. They put a hole in it and they put it over the mouth of the candle. So this is exactly what our Mishnah said. It's not going to be a problem. It would be a problem, but not for Rabbi Yehuda. V'haya sham Rabbi Tarfon uzakinim. Rabbi Tarfon uzakinim were there. And they didn't say anything. So Rabbi Yehuda was saying, look, this happened right in front of us, and they seem to feel it's okay. So that's where I get my shita from. So Amru lo misham raya. So the Rabbanan said back, you're going to learn your raya from their shiny base nitzah. This is reason, hey, don't learn a place from there. It's filled with talmidei chacham who know what they're doing. So we're not worried that they're going to go and take any oil from there. Now, this is a very strange line because we don't hold rabbis to different standards. They don't have different halachos. So we'd have to understand that, not for us right now. Now we have another story based on this previous story. Oven sipora gadar safsala biila sa deshesha. So oven of safsala. So he once dragged a bench in a marble paved room on Shabbos. Now marble paved, this means it's a hard surface. Leila me Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, in the presence of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Amar le ishtoki lach kiddushtiku lechavrei leRabbi Yehuda. If I'm silent to you as his colleague was silent to Rabbi Yehuda, nafik minei chorva, destruction is going to come. Gzera ilasa deshesha atu ilasa daalma. Because people are going to think that just like you're allowed to drag a bench or whatever it is on a marble paved surface, so too you'd be allowed to drag a bench on any surface on Shabbos, and that's going to be a big issue. Now, says the Gemara, Reish Kinishta Debatra Gadar Safsa Leila Meira Biyirmiya Rabba. So the synagogue of Batra once dragged a bench over an unpaved surface in the presence of Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba. Remember that name, Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba. Amar Lei, so they said to Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba, said to him, Kiman, who are you holding like that you're doing this? Ki Rabbi Shimon. So we said, like Rabbi Shimon. So we have to understand that there's a machlokas we're going to see again. Dragging a bench on Shabbos when there's a chance that something might happen, that it might make a hole on Shabbos, is it allowed? So this is the machlokas, Davar Sheino Miskavin. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not okay. So now we're going to analyze this machlokas. So Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba said, who said that you're allowed to do this, to drag this bench? We said, are you holding like Rabbi Shimon? Amar Damar Rabbi Shimon Bigdoim, the low Efshar, Bigtanami Amar. So Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba says a very interesting Kiddush within Rabbi Shimon. He says, maybe Rabbi Shimon only set his Shita by huge objects where you have no other choice but to drag the thing. So okay, so if you don't know if it's going to do it, Davar Shinu is coming to be mutter. But if you have a small bench, you have a small thing, and it could be carried, then of course you have to carry it. You can't drag in that situation. Upiga de Ula, and this seems to argue on Ula. This Shita of Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba argues on Ula. Damar Ula Machlokas Bigtanim. The only Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is by small things. When are you allowed to drag it or not? Rabbi Shimon still says it's mutter even by small things, but by big things where there's no chance that you're able to go ahead and carry it, then everyone agrees you'd be allowed to drag it. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to that. So we have this machlokas between Ula and Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba as to what this machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is really about. Must have Rabbi Yosef said back, Rabbi Shimon Omer Gorar Damita Kisei V'Safsa Ubevat Shalei Skavin Lasos Charetz. So Rabbi Shimon says, the Shita of Rabbi Shimon is that someone's allowed to drag a bed, a chair, or a bench across the grounds on Shabbos as long as they do not intend to make a hole. Ketani Gedolim V'Ketani Ketanim. So this includes big things and small things. Kashal Tarvayu. It's a question on both of them because they both made some sort of distinction between big things and small things. But this whole Vraisa, which actually quotes the Machlokas and the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, he never makes a distinction between a big thing and a small thing. So Ulam So each of them answer based on their reasonings. Ula answers according to his reasoning. Mita domida kise. He says that a bed that Rabbi Shimon mentioned is similar to the chair, and just as the chair is a small object, the bed is also going to be small. So that's really where Rabbi Shimon has a shita by small things, because it's obvious that by big things it's going to be muta. Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba mitaritz l'tamei kise domida mita. So he says the opposite. Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba says, he says that the chair is like the bed, just like a bed is big, the chair is big. So the machlokas is by heavy things, but by small things, everyone agrees that you would need to carry, you would not be allowed to do this. So what's the answer? Which one is it? So Masiv Rabba asks a question from this, from a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kalayim tells us, Mochrei Ksus Mochrin Kedarkan. So garment sellers are allowed to sell their
clothes in normal ways. So we're talking about a case where someone has a lot of clothes and people are trying on their clothes. So if they go out to advertise their clothes, they might wear a lot of their clothes to show people what it looks like, and that might be an issue of kelayim. As long as they don't plan to get benefit from the clothing, the only time that kelayim maybe might be an issue is if you're getting hanah from the clothing, like to protect you from the weather or the rain. But if you don't have in mind that you're going to get this type of protection, then maybe it's not going to be an issue. So you can maybe wear kelayim as long as you are not having intent to get hanah from them to protect you from the bad weather. But the tsnuim, the people who were careful about halacha, they wouldn't wear this kelayim, they would just hold it on a stick behind them. But here in a case, we're talking about, we have the ability to do like the tsnuim. So the Gemara is trying to say is that the fact that you could just hold it on a pole and not wear it is the equivalent to being able to carry something as opposed to drag it. And still, we see dechik tana dame, v'chilo miskavin, shari Rabbi Shimon lechachilo. And still, if it's a davar sheino miskavin, Rabbi Shimon allows it lechachilo, tiyofta Rabbi Yirmiya rabba, tiyofta. So we see that Rabbi Shimon shita, that you're allowed to do a davar sheino miskavin, that you could drag a bench, that applies whether it's big or small, no matter what, as long as it's a davar sheino miskavin, it's going to be okay. And we prove it from this sugya in Kelayim. This is Daf Chav Tes Mevei, Zemr Shtavei. Wonderful, wonderful day.